Hello, ladies. I love to hear the sound of laughter. It's just been a lovely dinner, hasn't it? Just so nice. Thank you so much to the guys for serving us, and how lovely to not have to cook. Just enjoy a wonderful meal. I was visiting with different ladies, and one lady just said, "Isn't it just a lovely night out?" And I said, "No, it's been an awful night, but we're here, and it is a lovely night here. We cannot order the weather, but we can respond, right? Lord, thank you. Whatever the weather, we're thankful. God is good. He's good in the rain. He's good in the sunshine, and he's always good when his people are gathered together. So it's just such a delight. Visiting with you, and just so happy to, I'm enjoying the evening. I hope you are too. Our next part of the program is turned out a little differently. Back to things don't always turn out the way you planned. This song, it's called, the theme of our tea is Majesty in a Manger. When we do a Christmas tea, we try to wrap it around a certain thought. And when I heard this song, called Majesty in the Manger, I was so touched just to think about His Majesty, our King, the King of Kings, chose a feeding trough. That is where He chose to come and have His child be born in a manger. And the more I listened to that song, I listened to it several times, says I want us to have that song at our tea. And we have a beautiful young girls, youth worship team, and I asked them to come and sing it, and they have been working on it, they've been practicing, and guess what? This week, one by one, they got sick, and we prayed, and some of them are here tonight, they're not sick now, but there are enough of them that we were not able to present it to you live. So, what do you do when you get lemons? You make lemonade. So you make do. So tonight, this is not what we planned, but I do pray the Lord will bless you. We're going to have I do want that song sang. So we're going to sing it. We just really found out yesterday that we would have to call it off. So short time, right? We're going to play it on the screen and have the words flow. So I just really want you to listen and prepare your heart, because I know the Lord has a beautiful message for each of us to hear tonight. And this song, just pray that it will prepare your heart.
Thank you. searching, come follow the star. There in the stable, the hope of our hearts. Come and see Christ the King, His majesty in a manger. Come adore Christ the
Majesty, that you chose to come and be born in a manger. Lord, we just pray that we would come on bended knee and adore you this Christmas season. Lord, open our eyes to see the baby who is truly Christ the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. His majesty was in a manger. And I love the demonstration here, just that, you know, a manger is nothing special. It's a feeding trough. We can complain that it's the wood is rough, or if it's the stone that it's not beautiful. But the majesty is in the manger, and He's called us to be His manger, that He can dwell in us. And so, I love the picture that we have demonstrated on the stage. But We are looking forward now to our message about the majesty in the manger. I've invited a friend of mine who I was trying to count up how long I've known her. Her name is Irma Presley, and I met her. I know we've been friends for over 20 years. I met her at a pastor's wife's retreat, and we instantly connected. She has a very big, caring heart. She really loves women. She loves women's ministry. One of her passions is missions. She loves to go and minister to women in Russia, in the Sudan, in Mexico. And she just really has a heart to want to help those who are hurting. Her husband, Harry, and she started a Calvary Chapel, I'm not sure how many years ago, but I know their Bible study started, she said, in 1984. And she has 6 children and 15 grandchildren, 16 grandchildren. Lovely family, and I want to welcome her up now to share what God has put on her heart. And I'm going to pray for you. I got it. It's on now. Yeah. Sorry about that technical difficulties. Lord, we just thank you. We've been praying and looking forward to this night for so long, and so we know you are faithful. We ask you now to come upon Irma. May your Holy Spirit come upon her and fill her and anoint her to speak your message. You are the ones that has the word. You say, open your mouth and I will fill it. And I pray that for Irma, that you would just bless her, anoint her, and give her grace to speak your word in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a water? Oh, mm-hmm. Here it is. Got it.
Okay. Thank you so much, my dear friend. And yes, I have known her for a long time. Yeah. And we love Donna. When she comes up for the Pastor's Wives Conference, she's so special. She's our little country girl. Her little thing. We just love her. But I'm so happy I'm here because now I get to say y'all. I can say that in New Jersey. And you know, I am from the South, from South Jersey, South Philly. Like when they like you, they say, get out of here. That means you're in, right? So a little different kind of culture up there, but it's really a pleasure. Merry Christmas, you guys. Like Donna said, I have a big family, and they're all crazy, but a lot of fun, especially this time of year. So I was praying about what to share with you guys, and you girls, you ladies, y'all, that's all. I'm just going to say that. And I was really thinking a lot about Mary. She fascinates me. And also her cousin Elizabeth. You know, they're both on those end of the scale as far as age goes, and yet they were so close. And it just shows you, like Donna had said, I've been to a lot of different places, third world countries and places, you know, all around the world. And guys, when you have the Lord, it's like you've known these ladies. And it's just such a koinonia. Sometimes even the language barrier, it doesn't matter. There's such a love that flows because it's agape. It's from the Holy Spirit. And so it's just the same with all of us. It doesn't matter about age or any kind of people group, you know, or anything. Language barrier doesn't mean anything to the Lord. So I just was really thinking about her, and I wanted to just read to you guys her song of praise. But I'm going to start where she meets Elizabeth, because, you know, Gabriel comes to her, and he tells her, you know, and Mary's just like, so real. She's so honest. And she, you know, he tells her that God has sent him to her. And he says, hail, thou favored among women. I'm going to start with Gabriel. And she sees him. She's troubled. And she's wondering, what is going on? You know, why is he coming to me? And he says, fear not. You know, there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day, right? And so he says, you have found favor with God, grace. And she is just an ordinary girl, guys. Nothing real special about Mary. That's what she said. You'll see that. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now remember, there had been 400 years of silence between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the New Testament. Gabriel's appearance was the first time, with Zechariah. Am I saying his name right? Okay, I don't know why I wouldn't, but it just sounded strange. So anyway, Zechariah was Elizabeth's husband, which was Mary's cousin. You guys follow me? It's not everybody knows this story, I know. Not everybody knows. It's just the truth. So anyway, this was this family. You know, and here we have Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, in close to her 90s, if not 90, barren her whole life. And then we have Mary, who was probably 14 to 16 years old. Think of your average 14 to 16 years old and think, God entrusted this girl with his son. So anyway, it's a pretty amazing story. Mary was pretty amazing. And so she says to him, because she's so real, she says, how can this be? I don't know a man. She's talking about she's never had sex. She could never be pregnant. And he says, yes, but, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and this holy thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And through all of that, she was still a virgin. And so the angel also tells her the secret of her cousin Elizabeth that is with child in her old age, stricken with years, the Bible says. That word means to be bent over, you know. And so these two women, they believed the Lord. When Gabriel came and told Zechariah, he's like, he was doubting. And finally Gabriel said, look, I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I'm telling you. Okay, so you're not going to be able to talk until the baby's born. So Zechariah goes home. And, you know, I mean, something's going on with them too. All of a sudden, Elizabeth looked really good to Zechariah. And she gets pregnant, guys. I mean, this miracle of with her age, the most tender thing, I think, that could happen to an older woman who was barren would be that tenderness from her husband and get pregnant. That's a miracle. What happened? So anyway, there's no cell phones. There's nothing. Elizabeth hides away. The angel tells Mary, and she takes off to go see Elizabeth, her cousin. And that's where we're going to start the story, because I just think there was so much courage in Mary. And where did it come from? You know, she had a lot to face with this pregnancy. We're going to learn about it. So if you've never read the story about Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, you should read this very touching story of these two cousins, one who was very, very young. As I said, Mary was about 14 or 15, and the other, Elizabeth, was in her 80s or really her 90s, some scholars say. Both became pregnant supernaturally, Mary through the Holy Spirit and Elizabeth through her husband, Zechariah, but truly a miracle because of their ages. We see in the story that before Elizabeth became pregnant, she endured quite a bit of shame with her barrenness. You were considered cursed if you were barren. This was considered a curse, yes. And then we see Mary endured shame after she became pregnant because her neighbors, friends, and family believed the baby to be conceived out of wedlock. And, you know, they didn't know Joseph, too. I mean, what she faced when she told everyone. But both women come together from these issues, and God uses Mary in Elizabeth's life to give her acceptance and confidence, encouragement and courage. And girls, I want you to hear this, because we have each other here. As Christian women in today's world, how do we live? How do we really take courage in our lives? How hard is it for you to talk to someone about Christ? I mean, we're in the South. I know people are open, more open than up north. Maybe, I don't know. But it just seems like with the Bible Belt and everything, you know. But do we really have courage? Do we have courage when people see us suffering in things in our lives where we're real about it, you know? We know God's with us even though we're suffering. Let me talk about some of these things. Mary certainly believed God as soon as the angel had appeared to her, but Elizabeth gave her that sense of belonging because Mary was fulfilling the prophecy of Israel, even though so many misunderstood and didn't even accept Jesus as the Messiah. Remember, they didn't read, they didn't even want to look at the prophecies in the Old Testament of the suffering Savior. They just wanted to see that king, the majesty. They didn't get it that this majesty was born in a manger, that he came, this treasure, an earthen vessel, and the same treasure, just like Donna said, that we can have within us to be born again. So Mary was the one that Elizabeth told, the only one Elizabeth was the only one that Mary told that had an amazing reaction to it. Just think of everyone else. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Joseph. I'm pregnant. What? Who's the father? God. Okay. So she goes to see Elizabeth. She rose in those days, went to the hill country with haste and into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And as she came into that house, Elizabeth did not know anything that had happened to Mary. God fills her with the Holy Spirit. First one filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament was Elizabeth. And as this happens, she says, with just prophesying right over Mary, "Fear not, Mary." Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading wrong one. That's Gabriel. She spoke with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this happening to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the baby within me leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord." That means God is going to keep his promises, Mary. She's telling Mary, don't worry, God's going to keep his promises. And remember, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb of Elizabeth. Amazing. That was a double filling right there. So just amazing thing. So she tells her she's so honored to see her. And then Mary gives this amazing exultation. "My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him." She talks about humility, that she wonders why would he choose me, someone of low estate? And it actually means in like a depressed kind of a state. You know, I want to tell you about Nazareth. Nazareth was known for debauchery, drunkenness, and prostitution. That's why when Philip was called, and he went and called Nathanael, he said, "Well, what good thing could come out of Nazareth?" When he was told, "I found the Messiah." He said, "What good thing? What honorable," actually, that word meant. So she's growing up in that place, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't a great place. It wasn't a great place to grow up. But anyway, as we think about Mary and as we think about her getting there, I wanted to ask you guys, do you have someone in your life like Elizabeth? Do you have someone in your life that you can go to and be real and will give you spiritual counsel from the Word? There's some verses that people quote that aren't in the Bible, you know. But a godly woman that knows Jesus and doesn't always tell you what you want to hear, but speaks truth and love. And are you that kind of woman to someone else? It's a big question. We see from Elizabeth's life that she had the courage to live her whole life following the Lord, even though she was barren, and she had to face the shame of that, and it wasn't her fault. God had set this up so that it would be truly a miracle. God took her barrenness to baby boy. And what a baby boy he was, right? John the Baptist lived in the desert. He was probably one of those modern day Jesus people, we would have said, right? Elizabeth was also, as I said, first person filled with the Holy Spirit. You're never too old to be filled and used in the life of someone else. Remember that, ladies. And you're never too young. Elizabeth was a beautiful example of a godly mentor, a beautiful friend, and a practical teacher in Mary's life. She showed Mary how to be pregnant with joy. Now that's good. And I really believe Mary was there for the birth of John because the Lord knew that she was going to be alone when she had Jesus. A godly mentor will always prepare you for new life, including the practical things one needs and unexpected challenges, and especially in the areas of our homes, making our homes loving, happy, cozy, and peaceful, just like it tells us in Titus 2, 4, and 5, where it talks to the older women to help the younger women, teach them how to love their kids and their husbands. You know, you guys are famous for your cooking skills. Southern cooking is amazing. And up north, well, sometimes we got to teach those girls some things. When you go to dinner, sometimes they think, you know, a great meal is a McDonald's box bundle. So we got to teach them some things, right? I live in an area that is very close to Camden. Most of the couples in our church, their parents are involved in drugs. So their lives haven't been, they've only been able to use the tools that they've been given. So there's such a job, right? All these ladies moving down to Georgia and North Carolina, I'm like, come on, you girls, you gotta move up to Jersey. We need you. But I remember having a godly mentor in my life. When our church first started, we came out of Calvary Chapel, Philly, with Joe and Kathy Foch. And the West Coast Pastors Conferences were going on, Pastors' Wives. And so we had the incredible honor of sitting under Kay Smith as she poured into our lives such beautiful scriptural exhortation, encouragement, and also challenges. We wanted to be like her. And I often thought afterwards of Paul's words, to follow me as I follow Christ. That's what shined out of Kay's life. It took courage for Mary to reach out, right? Elizabeth had no idea that Mary was coming. She didn't know Mary's secret. And thankfully, when Elizabeth met her at the door, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. So how are we when we meet people at the door? You don't have to answer. Sometimes we don't realize the effort it takes for someone to actually come to us. You know, a lot of times, if I get a phone call, and other girls in our church have said this, not just because I'm the pastor's wife, but, you know, you hostesses at your table, girls that do the announcements, people that, you know, you just shine sometimes with the Lord. Other women are drawn to you because they need you. And they want to talk to you. And maybe sometimes it's just a really kind of random question, but give them a minute, okay, to just talk and be a listener and hear more than what's on the surface. You know, one out of every three women have been sexually molested or assaulted. So, you know, I think about our church and the women there, and I just know that there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of brokenness with my women. And they're looking for people, they're looking for women that they can trust. Guys, sometimes we gotta take off the mask and be real with one another and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And sometimes it just helps to know that it happened to someone else and they made it and they're doing okay. And God's using it in their life to help other people, whatever's happened in your life. And I just want to tell you that because it's important. Mary had such courage. I mean, I really think about her. You know, I told you, Nazareth was the place the Roman soldiers went to have a good time. So in all of this debauchery, in this crazy town, there's this young girl, a virgin, named Mary. Why was she different? I always wonder. And so that's what I was asking the Lord in this teaching. You know, what if she was just too wrapped up in the world? You know, Mary at the market with her iPhone. Living in the culture of her day, you know, conformed to the world. She would have never had to suffer through the humiliation of a tainted reputation, possibly being openly mocked and ridiculed in her town. It would have saved her a lot of suffering and shame. You know, guilt, we feel guilt for the things we've done, but shame tries to say that's who you are, and it's a lie from hell. You know, Jesus talks about shame. He took it to the cross, guys. He said he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he endured it for us. He took it to Calvary so that we don't have to live in shame. Mary actually could have been stoned, according to the law, being found pregnant. It would have saved her all that suffering. You know, she could have just said, oh, no, Gabriel, I'm just not your girl, right? No, she said yes joyfully, responded with joy, receptive to God's plan for her. And so in those days, as you may know this, to be betrothed, espoused, was really like you were already married. You just hadn't consummated your marriage, and you didn't live together yet because your husband was preparing a place for you. The guys would usually go and build a room on their father's house, and he could come at any time to get you and say, the bridegroom's coming. And then he would take you to his father's house, and they would have a seven-day celebration for the consummation. But to be espoused, if your husband died, or your, I guess, fiance died when you were espoused, you were considered a widow. So it was so much more serious than, you know, what we see today. And so Nazareth, almost like Camden, I live close to the city of Camden. It has, I think it's number two in murder now. It was number one. And my heart breaks for the people there. Talk about adverse childhood experiences, ACEs we call them in counseling. There's a subculture in Camden that you could never break into. You would have to be invited. And that subculture is hard to understand unless you've been raised in that city. It is a culture of despair, addiction, and more than anything, fear. I wonder if Nazareth was similar to Camden. I wonder if Mary ever thought, why was I born in this town? You know, why was life so hard there? But she had the kind of courage that we need in this world. She drew her courage from the Lord. The courage it takes for women to please God. Remember Kay always would say that, to please God, to make him smile. And then, of course, all those, you know, times that she's talked to us, like we were her girls, her kids, she put it together, or Shannon may have, another friend, in that book, Pleasing God. And she has a few of them. They're wonderful. I hope you guys, I'm sure I know that Donna has read them, and I hope that you guys can. But it really, really encouraged us. Anyway, Mary had that courage to say yes to God in her life. And what she said yes to as a handmaiden of the Lord, when she said yes to Gabriel, that word handmaiden meant doulos. It meant slave. I'm your slave, Lord. She was totally abandoned to what God had for her. I mean, guys, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to get to heaven and know that you just didn't say no to anything he asked you? And then see people that came to the Lord that you didn't even know. Maybe you watered the seed, or maybe you just gave kindness, or laid your life down in some way for someone else. I do. I am scared too. I don't think I'm very courageous. I think that courage comes when you do something that you're very much afraid to do. So she said yes. And I thought to myself, you know, where do we draw courage from? So, I just wanted to bring this verse up. It's Hebrews 10:22, and it tells us to draw near. This is the key, guys. Mary, if you look at her song, you'll see that in every single sentence, and I homeschooled, every single sentence, she has references to the Psalms, to the prophets, to the Old Testament books of the Bible, Genesis, Deuteronomy. And Mary knew the word, guys. She was 14 years old or 15 years old. Like, I encourage you, young girls that are here, make it a habit to start reading. Even if you read a psalm a day, you're going to see how God starts to strengthen your life and change your life and use your life for him. High school, you guys know what these kids are going through. You know better than parents and teachers because kids tell each other things. And what's going on in our high schools is crazy. Even Christian high schools, guys. And so it's like we have this mission. We're here. We're ambassadors. We're just passing through. You know, and he wants to use your lives wherever you are. Because the people that you touch and reach, no one else probably will. Some of the people in your life, no one else is going to reach them. Maybe there's not even another Christian in their life. And let God just use you. He will give you the courage. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the words. But you have to be drawing near to him, else you have nothing to say. Nothing but your own wisdom. And worldly wisdom, we know, counts for nothing. So it doesn't matter if you have a PhD. It doesn't matter if you haven't graduated from high school. The wisdom in the word is the greatest wisdom you can have. Anyone can speak it. And God will just use it in your life, and you will be wise. Hebrews 10:22 tells us, draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart. Honest, that means. Be honest with one another in love. Just loving one another. When you see someone that just looks down, or, you know, extend a hand, or just tell them you're praying for them, and maybe that will open the door to give them a little courage. Maybe they need someone to talk to. And then pray for that person. Help them. Be a friend. It says, a true heart in full assurance of faith, and means your trust in Jesus. And what are we fully assured? That our sins are forgiven, that we're going to heaven, right? No matter what happens down here, no matter what happens to us, we don't have to be afraid of that person that could harm your body. But fear God, who is in charge of your soul, because the soul's eternal. And if you don't know Jesus, it's so easy to ask him in and be born again. You should have a date in your heart and mind of when you did that. It's an experience with the Holy Spirit. And he will come. And even if you're home alone, in fact, I really recommend that, so that it's just you and him in your room by yourself. Because he said, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And if you're in your room and you say, Lord, I want you. Forgive me of my sins. I open my life to you. I want to be used by you. I want to go to heaven. You can be sure that you're going to heaven. Guys, do you know how many people don't know that? Do you know how many people don't know anything about the afterlife? That we are eternal beings, and we're going to be in heaven or hell. And hell was never created for mankind. You know, people have such mixed up views about those things. Anyway, I just want to talk about some ladies that I think have a lot of courage. Here's the key, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. That means you sit down with your Bible in the morning, you schedule a time in your life, you make time for this, and you grab yourself coffee. I really was a little disappointed tonight. There was no coffee. I'm sorry. No, forget that. Don't put it on tape. But in Jersey, we call it a tea, and there's no tea in there at all. It's all coffee. It shows you how backwards we are. So anyway, that's probably why you guys are so calm. But Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Take that time. Take your coffee. And take courage. When you wait on the Lord, you can take courage. And I will strengthen your heart. That's what he says. He'll strengthen your heart. He'll give you the strength you need for that day. How do you know what you're going to face that day? Right? My brother had some pain. And so he went to patient first and had some tests done. He got a call 4 days later. He said, get right to the emergency room. And after some tests, he found out he has maybe 4 months to live. He has pancreatic metastatic cancer. And he's going to come and live with me because our house is joyful. But, you know, I just know God's got a plan in all this. He's with us, guys, through suffering, through pain. And we have that living hope that we will all be together again. And of course, you don't walk up to someone who's in that kind of a situation and say, oh, don't worry, you can see in heaven. It's not what you say. You don't say anything but listen and love and be there for them. But it says we have that full assurance from Jesus. I'm going back to Hebrews 10 because I realized I didn't finish the verse. Having our heart cleansed from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That means we're cleansed. Just like I was saying about shame. Shame means an absence of glory. But Jesus was glorified when he went to the cross. He took that shame and exchanged it for glory. And so let's look at some three ladies I want you guys to think about. First one, of course, Johnny Erickson Tada. What kind of courage? Wow, she doesn't think she has any courage. She says every day she has to push that despair to the back of her mind about not being able to use those legs and arms. 50 years now as a quadriplegic. Young, beautiful girl, lived in Maryland, active family, had horses, went hiking, jumps into a shallow pond and crunches her neck. And she's a quadriplegic since the age of 17. And she wanted to die. She's very honest about everything that happened to her. And she said that some friends came and treated her normal. And she started to realize, I can be normal. They took her to the mall. They helped feed her. She couldn't even feed herself. I mean, just crazy, right? I think it takes courage. Challenges and hardships that she faces every day in the face of a society that offers physician-assisted suicide instead of living this hard life. And she makes a choice to face her day with joy. You know, since 1973, when the Privacy Act was passed, it turned everything crazy. The abortion laws, everything, because what you do with your own body, all this, it also affected suicide. Now in the state of Oregon and Canada, the physicians can now decide whether you have quality of life, and they can pull the plug on your machines without family consent. So we have slowly turned to this kind of a society. But Johnny's had the courage to live like this, and she fights against this. She has a voice, and she's taken wheelchairs all over the world, third world countries, to children that had nothing, live in a little hut, but they got an amazing wheelchair. The courage of Corrie Ten Boom. You guys know who Corrie is, right? Everybody, maybe. After the hardship and mental anguish of seeing her whole family destroyed by the evil of the Nazi regime, the horrors that she experienced as a prisoner in the Auschwitz death camp, she returns home to Holland, only to find someone else living in her house. Yet, she begins a lifetime of ministry at the age of 60 to tell the world about the goodness of God and his grace, even in the darkest prisons. And this lady went behind the Iron Curtain. She went to, like, South Africa, into prisons in South Africa. This woman was amazing. And she had heart attacks. She just kept going. She had heart attacks and all. It was a hard, courageous life. And she suffered a lot. And I have a sweet, sweet friend who struggles with the problem of infertility. Her husband and her, Mark, finally had a baby girl. And then 4 years later, Melissa and Mark were finally pregnant again. On the morning of her due date, getting ready to go to the hospital to be induced, dear Melissa realized that she had not felt the baby move all morning. Trying not to panic, the dear couple rushed to the hospital, but it was too late. Her cord had prolapsed, and she still faced hours of labor and birth to a beautiful baby boy who would never see his mother in this life. Yet, at Mark James Jr. Memorial, she marched herself up to the stage and had us all sing along with her that God is good. That takes courage, girls. You need a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ in your life for the crushing hardships and bitter disappointments that can happen in this fallen world. 1 John 2:28 tells us to abide in fellowship with Christ so that we will be full of courage and not ashamed at his coming. So, a foundation of Jesus Christ in our life. He's not just that baby in the manger. He's real. He wants to be in our lives, give us a firm footing, a grounding, a safe place. That is the word, isn't it? Safety. Everybody wants to feel safe. He brings peace and quiet joy instead of a lifelong hopelessness and despair when we are faced with crushing situations. You know, in psychology, there is a diagnosis called hopelessness, where that person has absolutely given up. And now with the Privacy Act, if you are in hopelessness, you can ask for physician-assisted suicide. This has affected young people, and you may have heard of some of the cases going on. People are hopeless. And we have hope, guys. We have hope, y'all. When you must face really tough things in this world and perhaps your heart begins to feel that overwhelming despair, think of Mary, who had courage for a very hard life. Remember, she was also a single mom. Joseph died, we don't know when, but we know Mary was alone, that Jesus stayed till he was 30 years old and took care of his brothers and sisters. He had at least 4 or 5 siblings. We know that because of just that whole time when his ministry was just exploding, and Mary and her children came to come get him and take him home because they thought, you know, he's just like, this is crazy. What's going on with you? But of course, he didn't go home with her. But anyway, she had this courage. And just think, guys, of her broken heart when the prophet Simeon told her that the sword would pierce through her own soul as she would watch her son be tortured and then crucified. Remember that. But then the resurrection. Do we really understand about the resurrection? It's a place of hope. Remember, Mary was a witness to that. I'm sure Jesus appeared to his mom. Good Jewish mom, good Jewish boy. He probably had to go there first. But she did see him. I'm sure when she saw him, every question about her life was answered through the resurrection. Johnny Erickson Tata, while the life in her dead arms and legs is not there now, it will be in the resurrection. Corrie Ten Boom has already been joyfully reunited with her precious family as she now walks through the gates of heaven and on streets of gold. She's rejoicing evermore for a faithful life that turns so many hearts to Christ. And my dear friends, Melissa and Mark, have the comforting knowledge that their baby boy opened his eyes and Jesus' face was the first face he saw. His first steps were to the Savior. And I know, without a doubt, he will be waiting for his mother with arms raised as she enters heaven. So let's just look at drawing near. I just made an acronym from that. And I thought, you know, about the letters DRAW, D-R-A-W. So D, to be just deliberate in our pursuit of Jesus Christ. You know, we're so deliberate in other things. You know, we wouldn't make anything from a recipe and not follow that recipe. Well, there's a recipe for a good Christian life that's real and vibrant. And it's being in the Word. It's being in good teaching like you have at this church. It's being in koinonia, which means more than high and by to one another. And it's in honesty. That last, it's in the four vitamins of the Christian life is Acts 2:42. Those four things. The last one is communion. And that word means brokenness, like a broken bone. And you know what's made in the very center of that bone? The marrow makes the blood. And it's just telling you that God wants to be that real to you in that very, very deepest part of you, the deepest part
that you may have not revealed to anyone else. He knows. He knows you, and he loves you, and he knows the deepest part. Be honest with him. Come to him with an honest, true heart, and watch what he does in your life. So deliberate, then diligent. Joshua 22:5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That means you can get emotional. That means emotion, heart. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. That word means celebrate. So I think that's exciting to think of that. And then R is repentive. You know, in all of our lives, sometimes we drift from the Lord and things get in there because we live in this crazy fallen world and he wants us to come back to that first love. That's my word for the year in 2023 is return. And it just makes me always think about how soon he's coming back and how much I need to stay close to him because I want to stay by that first love. Remembering, therefore, from where you fell, because we fall away from the Lord, your first love of Jesus, and repent. You know, Psalm 73:1 says, create in me a clean heart. We have to say that prayer sometimes, guys. Make sure that you have time alone with the Lord and let him do some soul searching and heart searching in your life. So, and of course, the resurrection. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and Mary talks about his mercy all through her song, he hath begotten us again into a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, what does that mean? I want to tell you what it means. Think about when you were 18, some of you older ladies, some of you younger ones, you know, maybe you're thinking about when you're going to look 18 again, girls. You are going to be amazing, okay? You're going to be hot, okay? I'm just going to say that. You're going to be amazing. We're going to be in this beautiful body that God, just like Jesus' resurrected body, we will have that same body. Walk through walk. I mean, you could think about somewhere, oh, I want to be at the beach. I'm at the beach, you know? It's just like Jesus was. It sounds like a fairy tale, but we don't even understand the things he has for us. And, you know, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. How many of you guys like horses? One person. Oh, okay. Yeah, but you sold yours. So we're going to have horses in heaven. So you're going to know how to ride it. That horse is waiting for you, this beautiful white horse. We're going to be coming back with these white horses with Jesus. Guys, this is exciting. To me, this is exciting. I don't even get on a horse because I'm afraid I'm going to fall off now at 65. I'll be like laying on the floor and won't even get up. But not then. God has so much in store for us. So why don't we live our lives with total abandon to him? Just totally abandon to Jesus. Because we're scared. We're scared. But he has so much for us, and he wants to give you the courage, and then he gives you the strength to do it. A is for attitude. Put off all of this, anger, wrath, blasphemous, filthy communication out of your mouth, no lying. Put off the old sinful nature. Now remember, Paul was writing to Christians in Colossians, and he's telling them this. And put on Christ. Put on holy, beloved, mercifulness. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Put on agape, which is maturity. It's maturity. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says, love is not easily offended. And actually in the Greek it says, love is not offended. Love is not offended. Do we get offended? Yes, we do. But we're talking about the agape from Christ that he wants to pour into your heart and life. And as that heals you, you're able to forgive because that love is so supernatural in our lives. It's an experience that goes beyond knowledge, the love of Christ. So A is for attitude. put on that agape, and your attitude influences those around you. Oh, we know that, don't we, girls? We know our attitude influences those around us. W is for wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, all the treasures of wisdom are in Christ, hidden in him. Wisdom and knowledge. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom to abide in you. So you're so full of the word because you're in the word. You know, we really encourage the one-year Bible, because when someone gets saved, we give them a one-year Bible and we help them in that Bible and we talk with them. Then we're all kind of on the same page. It's just what we use, whatever reading plan. But it gives us a place of reference with people. And in a year, they've read through the Bible. And as you keep reading that, you just really do learn that whole picture of God constantly trying to woo mankind back to himself. And he does it. The tree of life, you know, is in the very first part of the Bible in Genesis, and it's in the very end in Revelation. It's kind of amazing for us. And he says, don't be weary. W is for weary. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up if you're in a place where you're suffering, where things are hard for you right now. Don't give up. It's only a season, guys. Maybe it's a long one, but it's only a season. Look at Mary now. I mean, she's rejoicing. She's in heaven with her Savior. Jesus was her Savior. She says that. So then, necessary. N is for necessary, for near, N-E-A-R. Some of the things we go through are necessary in our lives. But God always brings beauty out of ashes. So he says in Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, my child, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't refuse it or reject it. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father his son, in whom he delights. So he has to correct us. Does that mean all these sometimes terrible things that happen to us are what God's will for us? No. But he takes those things and he brings beauty out of them, and he changes the outcome of things that could be horrible. And I know that in my own life, because I have such a overwhelming desire to help children, because I know what it feels like not to be safe. And so you can't understand that sometimes until you get older and you realize, that's from you, God. That's the beauty you brought out of ashes. And in all of our lives, there's something he wants to use that the enemy may have tried to destroy your life with, but he wants to use it to bring glory to his name. Remember, he took shame to the cross and received glory. And he can do that in our lives. And so, as we look at E, E is for being, am I spelling this right? N-E, right? Okay, thank you. Endued. And this is something we need to remember when we think about, oh, I couldn't do anything for God. I couldn't go to Africa. I couldn't do, you know. Well, the Holy Spirit will endue you with power and give you strength to do whatever God calls you to do. And, you know, in Luke 24:49, he made this promise to the New Testament church, wait in Jerusalem. 10 days they waited there. And you will be endued with power from on high. And Romans 8:11 says, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise us too. He will give us power and he'll raise us up. Just as the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, you know, when Gabriel told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There's three words for being filled with the Spirit, with God's Holy Spirit, to come with us, where he, you know, he's with us when we need him, to draw us, he draws us to the Father. But there's another word called epi, which means he comes upon us to give us boldness and strength for whatever he asks you to do. God doesn't expect us to do anything in our own strength. He just wants us to say yes. And so that's what happened with Mary. And to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God means that this brilliant light came to Mary, brilliant light, and that's what overshadowed her. No more darkness, no more confusion in our lives too. He wants to bring light. God wants to produce new life in us, just like with Mary, new life spiritually, and give us joy in the middle of suffering when our path is hard. That's what he does. And so he will endue us with that power. And then also remember, guys, the best is yet to come. He is also for eternity, that we will receive wages. The sowers and the reapers will receive wages and gather fruit into life eternal, that both she that sows and she that reaps may rejoice together. So no competition, no envy, just joyful courage in our work together for Jesus. Right, guys? We just want to see souls into the kingdom that are hopeless, that need moms, sisters, godly friends in this world. That's why we're here. That's why you have church, so that you can take these things into your life and go out and be a light. That's why you come to learn. You're missionaries. Missionaries in Georgia. And then A is abide. And that means to let the Lord live in your life just like he lives there, just lives with you. He sees everything you do, you say. He's helping you. You will bear fruit if you abide. And that means you're in the Word, you're in church, those four vitamins we talked about. And he will do it in your life. It can't help but happen. I have peach trees. And I've never seen the peach tree just going, trying to grow peaches. It just happens. It takes time. But as that peach tree gets sun and water, these flowers grow. You know, that's like when somebody first gets saved, these real pretty flowers, they're all happy. And, you know, and then the flower petals fall off and it's this little kind of brown little grayish bud sitting there, because that's when trials come. And, you know, and we're just like that ugly little bud sitting there. But then it starts growing, right? And this beautiful fruit grows in that place. And that fruit is to be given to others. That's what our lives are for. And so he tells us, you know, to just be ready to speak for God. And then R is revive. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with her that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And that contrite means to be crushed. And humble in that translation also means depressed. So God understands. You know, I'm sure Mary wondered why God chose her. And why, you know, I'm in this crazy town and everything else. But did you ever think, what if Mary wasn't a virgin when Gabriel came to her? What if she was married? And yet she was humble and wonderful, you know. It wouldn't have been looked at as a miracle, ever. It was that suffering that made it a miracle, guys. The groaning is often what gives the glory in our lives. The misery sometimes leads to majesty. And that's what God does with these things that we go through. So he says, you know, I will revive the heart of the contrite ones. He will repair, restore, refresh to life, to health, from death, from discouragement, from pressures of this world. You know, it's so great to know that we're in his hands, and it makes you look at life totally different when you know God's in control, whatever happens. I remember one time driving to church, and I had this humongous Suburban, and I was pressing the gas, and nothing was happening. I was on 295 State Highway, and I'm pressing that gas. I'm thinking, what is going on? My car wouldn't go past 45 miles an hour. And I'm just going along and not knowing what in the world. All of a sudden, I get up there, up a little further, and a car just goes right across the highway, right in front of me. And then my car went back to normal. Those Jesus people days. That stuff happened a lot. And I knew it was the Lord. It was, absolutely it was the Lord. The car ran perfect. But God keeps his hand on us. He really does. So, as we think about these things, as we think about, you know, does God see me? That's what Mary thought. Why does God see me? Why was I chosen? Because she drew near to him. She wanted him in her life. When Gabriel came and told her that she was chosen, she knew exactly what he was talking about. She knew the promise and prophecies about the Messiah. And every girl hoped that she would be the one. But like I said, it had been 400 years of silence. And then here he comes to give her that message. So I just want to encourage you guys with those things. You know, Mary was just an ordinary girl, but she had extraordinary faith. And God decided to use this ordinary girl to bring forth life and give us life through Jesus. Jesus came because she was willing, and she allowed him to use her life. And so as we think about these things, I just thought about, you know, what Jesus endured for us. We see this little baby in the manger, majesty in the manger, at Christmas time, wonderful time. But I often think, wow, he came to die. He came to give his life, and not just any old death. Crucifixion was invented around the time of Christ, and then afterwards it was outlawed because it was so cruel. And the Romans had it down. And he chose that time to come. He chose that time to take the most excruciating kind of death to show you his love for you. He could have come and had his head cut off. Instead, he chose to suffer and take our sin and take our hopelessness and the pressure and the despair that people go through. And we have this treasure. And so it's really time, especially at Christmas, to think how we can give this treasure to others, this majesty in a manger, that this life isn't all there is, and nothing makes you happy except that peace and joy of Christ. And that's what people need to hear, guys. And I hope if anyone is here tonight that needs to hear that, that you will open your heart to Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you for women in the word, Lord, that we can look at and think, wow, never heard a word about Mary's mom. But she had a godly example in her life. She had a godly woman that led her in the right direction, Lord Jesus. And so, God, tonight I pray, if anyone is here that doesn't know you, they will be drawn to you through their Holy Spirit. And they would allow you, Lord, to just come into their life, that they would be born again. They would open their heart to you and just begin to grow in your love and care. And I pray that you would lead them to someone, Lord, that could mentor them and love them and help them to grow. And for my other sisters, Lord, that are here, that are facing maybe just crazy challenges in their lives, please give them courage, Jesus. Please give them courage, Lord. Help them to draw from your word, and that your Holy Spirit bring peace and joy in their lives. And I pray, Lord, that whatever they're facing, that we would all finish well, and we would hear those words from you, Lord, and we would see each other in glory in our amazing new bodies, and we would hear you say, well done, good and faithful servants. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, and praise the Lord for such an inspiring and full message. Thank you so much, Irma. She shared a lot, and I would like to give us just 2 minutes. I know we're running a little bit over time, but I want us to take 2 minutes, and I want us to be quiet before the Lord, and I've asked Haley if she would play a Christmas carol. but it's a quiet one for us to really contemplate and think about what Irma's just shared. Amen. Beautiful. This Christmas, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to the majesty who is in a manger. Let's be like Mary to say, yes, Lord. This sounds crazy, but I'm going to follow you. I will do whatever you say. That's what he's looking for, is willing hearts. Hearts that will say yes to Jesus. So that is my encouragement to you tonight. And I wanted to tell you, you've probably already discovered it on your table, but each of you have been given a very special gift, and it's a silhouette of the manger, and on it has been handwritten by Katie Fiddler, daughter of Bonnie Holly, wrote every single one of them. Majesty in a manger. And it's just, you are personal. You are very special to the Lord. And he has his hand written on you. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you are still here. And the Lord wants to use your life to shine for him and to share his love with others. So I just want to close this evening in just a minute with a prayer. But before I do, I just want our awesome